This is Taj Washington, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier, as we are getting ready to, I guess, leave for the combine next week. Nobody's gotten their credentials yet, Cody. So it always goes like this every time, man. I'm interested in finding out the exact schedule and stuff like that, but we will find out soon enough, hopefully bringing you a bunch of content from Indianapolis next week for our 13th straight year. They're covering the NFL Combine for all of Roster Watch Nation. And as Cody has put up here, I guess, on the bottom of the screen, and coinciding with that, as usual, as we've always done, the best ball cheat sheets will be available after the 2024 NFL Combine. That's when the best ball cheat sheets drop. You guys know very well here at Roster Watch, we like to concentrate on best ball before we get into the summer draft season, when we just have to focus all of our resources on the redraft sheets and stuff like this. So for us, this is best ball season. Cody, how the hell you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's Monday, late February, combine's in a week, mid draft season. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be happier.
It's so much is going on. I think does the franchise tag window, is tomorrow the 20th?
Tomorrow is the 20th.
I think franchise tags and stuff start tomorrow. It's like we're getting into it, man. You might want to fact check me on that, so I'm not lying to everybody. I'm sure the people in the comments would let me know. But all right. But what we're here to talk about today is best ball values. These are the players who you need to make moves on now before people realize what's going on. And a lot of these dudes, Cody, as I've kind of put together the skeleton where the underdog ADPs are right now, and we will be referencing underdog when we're talking about these ADPs, because they're the ones with the really big samples, you know, almost 50K in one of the big underdog contests right now, you know, teams that have already been drafted. We're going to be using those. And dude, some of these guys you can get in the final round, mainly the rookies, are guys that I want to touch on. There are also players who are going to be affected by free agency, right? I mean, so many big name free agents, right? Saquon Barkley, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Tony Pollard, Mike Evans, Austin Ekeler, Hollywood Brown, Calvin Ridley, Derrick Henry, you know, Antonio Gibson, Kirk Cousins, Dalton Schultz, Devin Singletary, Curtis Samuel, Noah Fant, A.J. Dillon. The list goes on and on and on and on. I'm not sure that it's a time wherever, you know, nothing's been solidified with where dudes are going to land or how fallout is going to occur from these. And so it's going to take some chances and sort of going ahead and saying like, well, I don't think this is going to happen, like taking a stand with it, saying something like, you know, I don't think Tony Pollard is going to be back with the Cowboys, right? We don't think that's going to happen. Might he come back? Maybe, right? But that has ripple effects for the rest of it. What about Josh? Let's start out with talking about this. What about Josh Jacobs? Because the reason I ask has everything to do with Zamir White, okay, who right now has an ADP of 128. He's going at the same time as wide receivers like Rashid Shaheed and Dontavion Wicks and Jerry Jeudy. He's going just before you get to the crop of what we would consider for this class. There's not really a, you know, high-end group of rookie running backs, right? It's not like we had Bijan, you know, and Jahmyr Gibbs last year, right? But the guys that people are really going to be considering taking up super high, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, Blake Corum out of Michigan, right? Those two kind of players in the pod, they're right there with Zamir White, 128, 131, and 135 as far as their ADP so far, pre-NFL draft on underdog. Zamir White to me seems like an absolute screaming value. If we're not considering if we're not considering the fact that, yes, Josh Jacobs could come back, and yes, Antonio Pierce coming back as the coach makes me a little more worried about that, because he had the thing where he came in and had some success, right? He went in there and got himself a job saying, look, we just got to get Josh Jacobs to 100 yards every single game. I think the thing that I've always looked back to, though, is, man, whenever Zamir White had to play in his stead, like he played really, really well, and actually showed us some things in the receiving game that were very appealing to me. That's the first name that I want to throw out that I'm interested in, given the current ADP 13th round, Mr. Zamir White.
I think Zamir is interesting. The problem, of course, you bring up is Josh Jacobs. He's a free agent. The thing isn't just Josh Jacobs being – if he was the big fish, I think, in free agency, it would be a different conversation. But because there's Pollard, because there's Saquon, there's DeAndre Swift out there, Austin Ekeler, these guys are all in the same market. I think that the likelihood with the culture with the Raiders right now, it feels like I would say Jacobs is going to be back. Zamir, on the other hand, I think in a situation where it's 1-2, where Zamir is back, not in the same role he was in last year, but he takes a higher role next to Jacobs, can continue to grow, feels right, feels like what's going to happen. If Jacobs is gone, Zamir White.
We're talking 100%. Fourth round of redraft.
We're talking a monumental 6-7 round bump. The problem with that is I just finished my mock draft 4.0, and I had the Raiders, and I caught a lot of heat for the Raiders picks because I didn't give them a quarterback. But I gave them Jalen Wright, another running back out of Tennessee who's hyper dynamic, runs a 4.3, things like that. That would be my one worry, is do they bring another guy in that maybe has a more defined skill set that can play in the receiving game as well, take anything away from Zamir White. But I think the biggest takeaway here, though, is that Zamir White sits in a spot where it can only go up from now. Even if Jacobs is gone, it's going up 6-7 rounds. If Jacobs stays, it's still a value because of the arc of the running back position and the likelihood that Jacobs stays healthy throughout. My favorite one in comparison is the opposite. You brought up Tony Pollard. I'm not looking at the guy behind him. I'm looking at Tony Pollard himself. And so kind of side by side Josh Jacobs, but Tony Pollard, I think any situation that he goes to outside of Dallas would provoke a little bit of a value. He's currently running back 23 behind Austin Ekeler, going off the board 76th overall. I think when you look at Tony Pollard, you're looking at a guy that, no, he can't take 300 carries. We've learned that. Dallas wanted to do that. Started out slow last year. The value, which I think he got to, what he got, he's a top 15.
1-2 turn. Yeah, 1-2 yeah, turn.
One-two turn at the end there.
And
we knew that was too hot, but we were doing it because we had to do it. We respected and appreciated the talent. But now you're getting him at a point where it's running back 23 at the board, 76th overall in ADP. If he goes to a Tennessee, if he goes to a Chargers, the dynamism that he brings, if he has a solid number two next to him, that's when Tony Pollard can flourish, not when Tony Pollard's jammed into a role where he has to play 85% the entire season. So you put Tony Pollard next to a Tyjae Spears, really any situation that I think he goes to this year is going to be beneficial for Tony Pollard's value. So I think getting him here 76th overall is a sick value, running back 23.
Yeah, man. But he's going one spot ahead of Joe Mixon. What do you think about Mixon and the fallout in Cincinnati? I think we could also have a conversation about the Cincinnati wide receivers. This is why what's so cool about next week at the combine on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're at least going to get to question these GMs and these coaches and find out. It's like, or like by then we'll probably know, like, did they franchise T. Higgins? You know, like, so
yeah,
I mean, you know, Tyler Boyd looks like he's going to be gone. Like, what do we make of the wide receiver? It's kind of why I've been going after Jamar Chase. I've been just a lot more interested in Jamar Chase with the target volume that he could pick up. But you do have guys like Yossi Vosh there, who we liked from the, you know, from the Senior Bowl. You have guys like Charlie Jones, who we loved from getting to meet him at the combine and getting to see his workouts there and with the way that he tested. There's a lot of interesting stuff on the Bengals. Like, what do you think about Mixon? Just as it's like, you're down here as being taken as an RB3. And then even down here at 111 is Chase Brown, that showed some nice things in spurts. Total opposite reaction that I had, you know, with Chase Brown at his Senior Bowl. I thought, man, yeah, I'm not sure this guy's going to be able to hold up. Like, at Illinois, right? yeah, at Illinois, he was able to, you know, he's able to be a volume hog, looks so good, looks so fast, tested so well, and then gets to the Senior Bowl. And man, it was him and Chris Rodriguez. Remember, they were just falling all over their own shoes and not able to make their cuts and stuff like this. But dude, I mean, you can't deny what you were able to see out of him in spot duty this year. Like, what do we make of these Bengals? One ten is the ADP for Chase Brown. I'm not sure that Joe Mixon's a guy who I'm screaming to go out and buy. His efficiency has gone down each of the last three seasons. He's actually looked kind of bad. He's had more goal line touches than I even care to recount that he hasn't been able to capitalize on. Is he somebody though? Once you get to an RB, your RB3 is Joe Mixon and best ball.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't want that though. Like, we had the same discussion, same situation. Now this is going to be the third year in a row. Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon. They hit this age.
That's good.
They hit this output. They hit this carry threshold. And Mixon started to get to that point. He did have a few spots last year, but he started to get to the point where he's slowing down at the same level that Dalvin Cook did. You remember the last year in Minnesota, Dalvin hit 1,000 yards, and then that's why he was trying to get that. That's why Minnesota got out. They saw him slowing down, and then he went and got, you know, he begged for it, but he got a contract with the Jets. Joe Mixon's doing the same thing. They're already talking about, you know, letting him go. It's the same thing happening over again. So Joe Mixon, I'm completely out, and this is not a bearing on his talent or his abilities, but as far as fantasy value and as far as what I want on my team, even at RB3, and it sounds like a sick value, I understand that, but I don't want any part of a Joe Mixon. It's
good to have a Joe Mixon as your RB3, Cody.
It does sound good. It does sound good until it's, you know,
until he falls August off 30th,
right? August 30th.
That's when we have these conversations, and it's fine, right? It's fine.
With the Chase Brown side, I think. Chase Brown, 100%. He's kind of a similar situation to what Zamir White is in, except you've seen it on a grander scale with Chase Brown. And I'm not sure
because we haven't seen a whole game where he just has a monster takeover like Zamir White has had this year. You know, just the volume based good game, good use in the receipt. You know, all around, almost a bell cow type of profile that we've seen whenever Jake was missed time. We've at least seen one or two games like that out of Zamir White. We've seen epic flashes out of Chase Brown.
I was going to say, I don't want to call him like it's not the same thing. It's not the same situation as Nick Chubb. But you remember Nick Chubb his rookie year? It was like they wouldn't give him the ball, and he'd get it, and he'd be like 60-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown. That's not what it felt like with Chase Brown, but that's like a similar situation where you definitely wanted as soon as he got the opportunities there in week 12, week 13, you're like, dude, can we get more of this? And they were just like, nope, we'll just give you a little bit, but not too much. And I think we can project it. We have a little bit of, you know, from our perspective, he was good on film, went to the Senior Bowl, and he really left a sour taste in our mouth, didn't perform the best throughout all the workouts leading up to draft. Draft capital was what it was. But I think 23 and a half years old, soon to be 24, if they vault him into this spot, and if they cut Mixon,
I mean,
that's going to tell you exactly how they feel about Chase Brown. I don't see them spending top 100 draft capital on a running back.
No.
With Chase Brown on the roster.
Yeah, the draft will obviously tell us exactly the way they feel. It's like I've always said, man, the draft is the one time that teams can't lie to us, right? They're having to make a transaction.
deeper in that roster. So if we do believe Joe Mixon's gone, is there any, again, I know this is going to sound cocky maybe because it's super deep, but you have to think about it. It's the depth. It's like the Jerome Ford thing, right? But I know he's not looked in the same view, but is a ship sailed on Chris Evans, do you think?
Yes.
I'm asking this completely from a value standpoint, whereas if they cut Mixon post June 1 and they go into the season with a Chase Brown, with a Chris Evans, and with a, you know,
is Travion Williams? What is Travion?
Travion's gone.
Okay, so he's
100%. It's Brown and Evans.
Let me make sure. Hold on. Let me look at spot. I didn't even look at Travion. Let me make sure. Yeah,
he's an unrestricted free agent.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I think that they would have to add somebody then. I'm not sure it would be a top 100 pick, but it's like some of these running backs. It's like let's talk about some of the rookie running backs in a second, but I want to talk about just one more here. I want you to talk about, like, do you have a favorite Cincinnati Bengal pass catcher to take a flyer on?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, 100%, it's going to be at this current stage, like with what I'm feeling and projecting, I don't see Higgins coming back. I think Boyd, there's a wee chance, but I would say not. You're not going to take Chase. You take him if he's there in your spot, but if you're looking for a deep value guy, it's 100% Yossi Vash. As much as we love Charlie Jones, I think Charlie Jones brings a dynamic feel to this offense, especially in the punt return, kick return game.
I think they see him a lot more with his fine return stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine in opportunities, but it's going to be similar to like a Kelvin Austin, where like he's going to be out there and then he's not, and it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. Andre Yossi Vash, they told us last year how they felt about him. They kept putting him out there in the red zone, and Joey B kept nailing him. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't come off this way, but this is what my thoughts have been since midseason last year, was they're preparing Yossi Vash to just take over that T. Higgins role. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as T. Higgins is, but he's more athletic than T. Higgins, and prepping him for a year in this offense was the best thing possible for him. There's no reason he can't be the number two in this offense next to Ja'Marr Chase.
Current ADP right now of 201.6. So to rank these players for me, the Yak King, Merrick Malachi Corley, Andre Yossi Vash, and Jerry Rice's son, Brennan Rice. They're all within 9 picks of one another right now. And they're all basically in a row as far as we're talking wide receiver. Jeez, I don't have it. Wide receivers 85 through 88.
Yeah, Yossi Vash is about 30 spots too low. Corley's probably a little bit too low, and then Rice is probably about right. So I'd go Yossi Vash, Corley, Rice.
All right. One more guy I wanted to talk about before, I'm sure that you have dudes that you wanted to mention as well, but I just wanted to talk about one more at the running back position. Oh, and one more at wide receiver, right? So can you pull up the contract details for Alvin Kamara? And Jamal, and I'll pull up Jamal Williams because I want to talk about Kendre Miller. We're gonna have to take a mulligan. We're gonna have to take a mulligan on last season. But I'm not giving up. I'm not done. I'm not done with Kendre Miller. I'm not, dude. And after this last season, I think people are like, dude, I am done clicking on this guy. There was all the hype about him. He was hurt coming into the season. I knew he was kind of hurt. I didn't even really know that much about him, but all the analysts said that, I know what people are thinking, right? They didn't have the information to be as smitten with a Kendre Miller as I was, or as you were, as that a lot of people who, do this stuff for a living really were. Kendre Miller is awesome. He's a problem. He's very, very good. And you saw that. Like you saw it whenever he was able to get into the games, right? It's just felt like every single game he'd bust an 18-yard run to the sideline, and he'd get to the sideline and he'd hit the side of his foot on some kind of pylon, and he's out of the game. And next thing you know, it's not an MCL anymore, some kind of toe or some kind of foot. And and he just never got off the ground, never got anything going. By the time Jamal Williams got back and healthy, they didn't even really need him. They're always running Taysom Hill. Look, man, the threat of Taysom Hill surely has to be going. Dude, how far over the cap are these Saints have been over the cap for years. And that Alvin Kamara contract is, do you have it pulled up? It's a brutal contract. That was originally a 5-year, $75-something million thing. And they had to restructure last year to turn $10 million of it into signing bonus. I think they have an out.
They're out. He signed that 5-year, $75 million in 2020. They have an out, but the out is not, I don't know as much about the contractual stuff, so I can't comment too deeply on this, but post June 1 is the most advantageous release or trade. $17 million dead cap combined in 2024 and 2025, 7 this year, 10 next year, but they do save 11.8. So 17 dead, they save 11.8.
I mean, you save $12 million bucks by cutting Alvin Kamara. And then there's,
and they're negative 81 in the hole.
They're 81 now. Well, so they've actually done a little bit of work since the last time I checked. And then Jamal Williams, I believe, Let me just look in. Okay, so I'm on spot rack. Oh gosh. Stein, so he's a Lee Stein, he's a Steinberg guy. This is actually, this might be a tough contract for them to look, man. They're gonna have to clear some space. They're gonna like Taysom, one of these running backs. So they're gonna have to be, one of these running backs is gonna have to be gone. You can't, you know what I mean? You can't have this, especially when you have a guy like Kendre Miller just waiting in the wings. If he could be healthy, he's better than Jamal Williams. I mean, no one's Alvin Kamara.
How cockamamie was that Taysom Hill contract? Can we just say that? How cockamamie was giving him any money?
Well, not just any money. It's like averages like $10 million a year. It's like, it's absurd. Yeah. So look, Kendre Miller, his ADP right now for where you're having to take him. And look, this is best ball. So it's not like it could be something where it's you only really need him for, you know, for the weeks that he pops up. And even if this situation doesn't get completely out of the murk and out of the muck, you know, right to start the season, it doesn't matter. Like, we have to manage it in our managed leagues, right? But right now, what, 145.8. So we're talking about the 13th round.
Mm-hmm.
We were taking him in the 13th round last year whenever things were looking more murky than this.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah, so for me, it's Kendre. All right, let's talk about your guys, and I'll give my super deep, unheard of gold star wide receiver sleeper after that.
Well, can I ask you? I want you to give me. You brought up Kendre. I'm middling on Kendre. Can I ask you three guys? And can you rank three guys for me?
Yeah,
let's go. Khalil Herbert, who's still in Chicago with Roshan.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving from Oregon. No, don't do Bucky Irving. Do Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, the big running back. He's running back 47. Kendre Miller's running back 44. Or who did I say was Khalil Herbert 43.
Well, Khalil Herbert's going to lose a job, right? He's going to – how far after Roshan is he even going? Is he's got to be going after Roshan, right?
Khalil Herbert is running back 43. Roshan Johnson is running back 35.
Ah, well, I mean, so the market's already. I got no, dude. I mean, I don't know. I think right now it's just kind of, you know, I said we need to make some assumptions and stuff. What do you assume happens with the Bears? Do you assume it's just Caleb Williams? No more Justin Fields? They're going to. Man, yeah. Roshan is just such a good pass protector. They're going to need him on the field for their rookie quarterback. I'm not super interested in Khalil Herbert. I think that's going to be Roshan's job to lose sooner than later.
Okay.
I just give me Kendre, dude. Like, give me Kendre. Your other guy was look, and Braylon Allen belongs in that same conversation, okay. Right? He needs to be in the same. That exact same tier, because Braylon Allen, like if he goes to Dallas, like in your most recent, or was that where he went in your most recent mock? If he goes to Dallas, like your most recent mock, that whole thing's Yahtzee. It's like he, you know, you just, next thing you know, you're having to take him in round six, right? You're picking up seven rounds of a discount on Braylon Allen. So I think maybe Braylon Allen probably, you know, it's not how the ADPs have it, but
yeah,
maybe I would, I don't know. Would you take Braylon Allen over Kendre?
At this current stage, I think I would. But it's cool. I mean, it's really – it's just Ranger.
They need to be in the
I
same
would take, I would take both over Herbert, though. That's my
– Okay,
that's
well, my then point. Let's just talk about this. Like, you certainly like those guys – let's just say you like those guys better than this series of wide receivers I was mentioning earlier. Rashid Shaheed, Jerry Jeudy, Dontavian Wicks, Gabe Davis, et cetera. Like, those guys need to be moved up. And mm-hmm. I just – with as far as the structure of the sheet – it feels like anything after McCaffrey, Breece Hall, to some degree, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Kyren Williams, to some degree, Jonathan Taylor. Outside of those guys, man, it feels like, I hate to say it because I don't generally like doing this, but it feels like, man, you feel a lot better about some of these wide receivers at the very top if you can get these sort of values at running back later in best ball. Like, it isn't like a managed league where you have to win week one. You know what I mean? Your roster just needs to cobble it together. So structurally, I think that's how the sheet will get built. Of course, you'll be able to find the cheat sheet that you can follow the simple instructions over on rosterwatch.com. All right. Who are some of your guys? Do you there's only about 800 of them. I'm sure there's guys that we haven't touched on, right?
Well, I think I just coupling off of what you just said, feeling good about the running back depth later on, like that's exactly like, especially with this is the perfect time of year right now, this week, next week at the combine, then the stuff's going to start going up as soon as these guys run and then right into the draft cap.
I think especially when you mentioned Jalen Wright, the guy from Tennessee, how fast he might run. He's another one that I've neglected to mention, but he's going in the last round, but it's the same thing Cody's saying. What, like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, somebody like that weighs 210 pounds and he runs a 4.36 or something like that. Next thing you know, it's like,
it's over.
Goodbye to these values. Right.
And right now you can take advantage of that by building, you know, if you build multiple lineups a week, I don't know how many drafts you guys do if you're listening along, but if you draft, let's say you get a Bijan or you get a McCaffrey, whatever, an early, you can wait. And then you can get a multitude of these running backs later. Like, I want to throw that dart on Wright. I want to throw that dart on Braylon Allen. You can get 2-3 of these rookies later with upside because, quite frankly, these NFL teams have a lot of different running backs as their RB1s. I've seen up to 7 running backs as people's RB1s over the course of the last month. So I think that there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of these backs. One of my favorite running backs right now as far as value goes is a free agent in this 2024 class. He's 25 years old, and he was in Philadelphia last year, DeAndre Swift. I think it feels like the best spot for him would be to go back to Philadelphia. He gave us a couple of outputs early in the season, 25, 13, 13, 15, 14, good games, built on some consistency. There was a trend line that compared having Cam Jurgens in the lineup at guard and not having Cam Jurgens in the lineup. And then that was like this big knock where like Swift would dominate with Jurgens in and without him, he didn't do anything. So that was kind of interesting. But I think Swift in Philadelphia, if they can start to utilize him instead of trying to, you know, play these big donkeys that they sign on 1-year contracts, like the Rashad Pennies and the Trey Sermons and things like this, and maybe focus on a Swift or focus on a Gainwell, whichever direction they go, they should give Swift more run. At 25 years old, he's a value, I think, at running back 31. He's going right at the 100 marker right now. 99 is his ADP, right below Jalen Warren in Pittsburgh, right ahead of Chase Brown, who we just mentioned a minute ago. We talked about Chase Brown. He's far too low right now. I would have Chase Brown ahead of DeAndre Swift if we're projecting potential opportunities just based on upside in the Cincinnati offense. But I think Swift is also a bit too low right now. I would take Swift over the James Conner, the Najee Harris kind of situation, which is right at about 82, 83.
Do you think they've seen enough out of him to bring him back?
I mean, only they can tell us that, right? They're going to know that from just being on the inside. But
what about your eyeballs?
That whole offense was a concoction of dried soup. So it's like they have to make that decision. It's Kenny Gainwell. A concoction of dried soup. You know, like you take a bowl of soup and you put it in the refrigerator and it gets dried out. It's just it's disgusting. It's garbage. It's what it was. That Philadelphia offense.
I've never had a dry soup.
They had a hot, fresh chili last year, made the Super Bowl, and now this year they just put it in the fridge and thought it was gonna keep. It didn't keep. It got cold and it got disgusting.
I gotcha.
So I think that, you know, I think Swift is a good value here. Getting him here at running back 31 or at the pick 100. I think he's about 15, 18 spots too low as the offenses currently sit, projecting him to be back in Philadelphia.
So you like, I mean, gosh, but Javonte, wouldn't you rather have Javonte Williams just like three picks ahead of him?
I'll take Javonte. I think they're both too
back healthy.
I take Javonte over Swift, but I think they're both plenty low right now.
I like Javonte Williams in the ninth round. That feels good.
I think they both, if you want the take is that Javonte Williams and DeAndre Swift will both be drafted inside the top 75 by the time we get to August.
Absolutely. I like that take. And it's just like, just remember for how you do these things structurally. All right. Any others that you want to get to before we get to our super deep flyers?
No, that's good for now.
I didn't even tell you that I had a super deep flyer, or
I know you did.
Told you to prepare for a super deep flyer. Do you have one?
We make moves on the fly. That's how we do it.
All right. Mine. I wanted to find somebody that's not getting drafted, right? Yeah. And I know that Javon Baker's not getting drafted. The the rookie out of UCF, Jermaine Burton, the rookie out of Alabama, is basically not being drafted right now. Jacob Cowing's not being drafted. That's one thing we need to find out at the combine next week, Cody. Is like, did he tear his ACL at the Senior Bowl, or like what? Like, did he tear an MCL or meniscus, or it? I have no idea what even happened there. And there's been zero reporting on this. But Cowing is down there. Man, do you know the one that do you know what I like though, Cody? I like getting a piece whenever everybody's like, we're talking Nico Collins going at what, like the first with the 1-2 turn, right? Which to me says just feels, I know he had super big games. It feels just feels too high for me, right? Tank Dell, who now is going at like what, mid third round and stuff. You got Robert Woods gone. Xavier Hutchinson doesn't look like he's going to be too much of anything. Noah Brown is, I believe, Noah Brown set to hit free agency, right? Noah Brown. Yep. Let me make sure about that. But I believe it's true. I mean, he's 28 years old this year, regardless. Dude, is it finally the time now that he's all healed up, cured of what ails him, Mr. John Mechie? Dude, you could be a number three wide receiver, even if you could pop off for some big games with CJ Stroud. I love it with the last pick in your drafted prospect. I want a dude that was an awesome prospect coming out of Alabama. They just had the cancer diagnosis or the leukemia, whatever, lymphoma diagnosis and all the rest of the stuff like that. The pathways are cleared up for him to be able to take on a relatively significant role with one of the hottest young quarterbacks in the league. So give me John Mechie in the final round if I'm looking wide receiver.
Well, I didn't go quite to the final round, but I'm looking at 170 overall. I'm looking in the tier where it's just all these receivers that run in straight lines and their volatility is ridiculous when you're talking about fantasy football. But I know that's what best ball's kind of built around, these volatile guys. It's a beneficiary of having them late. The problem is this guy in particular, pre-draft, when you visualize what he can do in the NFL, yes, he can run deep routes. He averaged over 16 yards per reception this past year. But Jalen Polk is a top 10 wide receiver in this class. I have him as wide receiver 7 currently. Polk played with Michael Penix. Polk played with Roma Dunze. He's going off the board at 170, right between, below Wandale Robinson, below Josh Palmer, below Marvin Mims. These are areas where you can take advantage of a receiver of this nature that had 100 yards or 4 receptions in every single game this past season. Jalen Polk is not this year's Puka Nacua, but Jalen Polk is a significant value in best ball, and he's going to make you a ton of cash if you draft him at 170 overall. Jalen Polk is an exceptional wide receiver. I could go off into him, but I'm not. I just think he's misplaced because of his skill set right now. He's put in places where you're looking at Devontae Walker, you're looking at Zay Jones, Trey Palmer, one trick pony type players. Jalen Polk is not that. Jalen Polk is my value of the week.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, It's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times. And stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in. But you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.